Saints. Amen. Isn't he worthy? Amen. Amen. We do just have one announcement, just a reminder that we will be having a work night on Friday night. So whoever would want to come. Niece, she is pregnant and currently in the hospital with a kidney infection. Also, please pray for the salvation of her soul. Amen. So, amen. How many just have a need from God? Amen. This evening, amen. Just lift it up to the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful, O God, to be here tonight, O God, Lord, that we can be Christians, Father God, walking after Your Word, walking in the way that You have sent us, Father God. When you see nations breaking around, Father God, everything happening left and right, we just want to stay right down the middle of that road. Just keep our eyes focused on the heavens above, O God, for You said to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh, Father God, and that's our desire this evening, Father God, just to look up and look for Your coming, Father. But Lord, these requests that went forth, Father God, we just pray, O God, for the Martin family, losing the child there, Father God. Can't even imagine what it would be like, Father God. But Lord, we just pray, Lord, that You'd comfort them, Father, because, Lord, You said You'd be the comforter, Father God, and there's no greater comfort. We could comfort them with our thoughts, our words, but Lord, nobody can comfort them like Your Spirit, Father God. Just be with them, Father God. Just hover over them even closer right now in this hard time, Father God. Lord, we just pray for Sister Cindy's niece, oh God, the kidney, oh God, the problem there, Father God. You know the very problem, the very issue, Father God. We know that You're a healer, Father God. Lord, by Your stripes we are healed, Lord. We sing about it all the time, Lord. We believe it, Father God, tonight. Lord, many have been healed here, Father God. We just pray that You just heal, give her that request, and also, God, that it would just go forth as a testimony to her, oh God, that there is a true and living God, Father, and that she should serve that same God that healed her, Father God. Just grant that, Father God, and also for Sister Tammy, as Lord, oh, she's not feeling well, Father God. I just pray, God, that You just be with her as well, Father God. Lord, we pray that You bless the tithes, the offerings that are to be taken up for the furtherance of Your kingdom, Father God. May they, oh God, towards the winning of the souls, Father God. We just need You tonight, Father God. Bless the musicians, Father God. Bless all the people here that came to worship You, Father God, that we might just lift up our voices just a little bit higher to heaven tonight, Father God, that we might worship You a little bit closer, oh God. Be with Brother Cam as he brings the word of God, Lord, that he would just, oh Lord, speak the very words from heaven, Lord, that You'd want us to hear tonight, Father God. We love You, Lord. We appreciate You, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, oh God. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, When the Savior Calls, I Will Answer. Amen. How many are going to be listening, amen, for that call? Amen. How many know without a shadow of a doubt, not by anything that You've done, but what Christ did for you at Calvary before the foundation of the world, you'll be able to hear that voice. Amen. Amen. When the Savior calls.
And when the Savior calls, I will listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. If my heart is right, when
sing that song, "Oh Lord, send the power," just now, amen.
They were in the upper chamber.
Just sing that song, "Oh, magnify the Lord," amen. How many just want to do that tonight? Magnify Him with all your heart, amen.
And oh, magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. And oh, magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. To be praised, and I will
Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise your holy name. Amen.
We just want to exalt Him all we can tonight. Amen. 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 Why don't you sing that song, I'm Not Giving Up. I'm not turning around. How many can raise their hand and say, I'm not giving up. I've come too far by faith to turn around now. Amen.
Well, I'm not giving up, giving up. I'm not turning round, turning round. By the grace of my God, I'm gonna wear a shining crown someday. Oh, and I'll keep holding on, holding on to those nail-scarred hands. I'm not giving up, no, I'll keep going on. We're now walking through the valley and through this veil of tears. At times I've even questioned, even if my Lord was near. You're just losing ground. And then I say, I'm not giving up, giving up. I'm not turning round, turning round. By the grace of my God, I'm gonna wear a shining crown someday. Well, I'll keep holding on, holding on. Tear those nail-scarred hands. I'm not giving up. Going on. Oh, now, would you mind to tell me there's been something bothering me? Why is it that old devil, we just won't let God's children be? He has purpose and determined just to get right in the way. Way of life and lead our souls. That's when we say we're not giving up, giving up. I'm
But I just keep getting blown away by the prophecies in the Bible and all the wonderful things that God shows, and I just can't get enough of it. Amen. I got the Lord's kind of opened some things up to me more and more. Amen. And by the grace of God, we're just looking forward to seeing what God will do in the future. Amen. As He gets us ready, I find it just a lot of leadings on my heart right now, and just I want to preach what God would have us to preach. I want to say what God would have us to say, and I want us to come into our promise. Amen. Amen. Not come into the promise, because our promise. Amen. Amen. Good to have the Delaney's back this evening. Amen. Amen. And by the grace of God, we pray they enjoyed their little trip there. Let's open up in our Bibles, if we could, now to Psalms 24, verse 7. After that, we're going to go to Psalms 110, verse 1. I find it just amazing how many times, you know, you just... You run into things, and they just never really jumped out before to you, but then you find out that there's just so much within the Word. Amen. Tonight, well, we won't be bringing you altogether something new, but maybe just adding more to what has been laid in the past, and we just pray that it'll be a blessing to you. This kind of opens up, and actually it's in a couple different ways, and we'll just see where God will take this evening. Amen. But might be going back to a little bit of Old Testament church ages of Ephesus, and might be all over the place. We'll see where God wants us. If you don't even want me to get to that, I'm pretty happy with that. We'll just go where God wants us to go. I've done my best. God, forgive me, Lord. I just want to be used, and I pray that you're in the same condition right now. Say, God, I've worshipped. I've come here, Lord, and I'm cleaned up, God, and I'm ready to receive the Word. Amen. The Word won't do no good for you if you ain't ready for it. So I pray that we're all got our hearts all cleaned out. We've just enjoyed worshiping. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God, let's go to Psalms 24, verse 7. It says here now, it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Not done yet. Who is this King of glory? Now notice what we're doing here. We're actually repeating the same phrase twice. And we understand that according to theologians and even people who aren't theologians, you'll find that when things are repeated more than once, there's a great emphasis that's being put on that. Amen. Now let's finish this up for the second time. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Salah. And Salah means pause. Amen. Let's go now. You know what? Let's read that first verse while we're here as well, because I do want you to catch this. It says, a psalm of David. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Amen. So, brother, why'd you read that and why'd you skip that? Because I want you to see that this is a psalm of David. Amen? That plays some importance in where we're going. Psalms 110, verse 1. I'll be trying to put together just a very easy puzzle. I preach a lot about this stuff, so I'm going to put a little bit of the Word together for you tonight by the grace of God. And I pray, oh man, that's a... Ooh. I wish I seen that much emotion coming up front too. Brother Ty's back there going. So we're going to put the Word together. He goes, I didn't hear nothing out of his mouth, but I seen enough. Amen. Psalms 110 verse 1 says here, a psalm of David. Once again, The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Oh, praise God. I hope we know what that means. Amen. Okay, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, we thank you, Lord, today, oh God, for just giving us another day of life, God. And Lord, now you've drawn us into your tabernacle this evening, Lord, and we're just asking, God, that you'd certainly, Lord, come have thy way, Lord. Lord, though we've fallen short, Lord, in the physical, Lord, our spirit cries out for you, Lord God. Our soul, Lord, we're resting upon that baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're resting, God, upon thy eternal word and the promise, our promise that's laid in there, God. We're just asking tonight, Lord, though we be few in number, God, we have a God who can do mighty things with one man, God. We have a God who can do mighty things, oh God, with an Ephesus church of 12 men, Lord God. And we're asking tonight, God, though our brothers and our sisters, Lord, many have not been able to make it, God, we just ask you to help them, Lord God. Oh God, give them strength, God. Put them in a revival, God, if they don't have the ability to make it on their own, God. But God, we just ask, God, if you've given us strength, God, let us stand on this word, God. Let us hold fast, oh God, to the word that's revealed to us in this hour, Lord. God, you know, Lord, I could probably preach a lot on this, God, but I don't want to preach anything, God. I want to allow you to say what this church needs, God. Lord, I ask, God, Lord, what you've revealed to me, I pray it, oh God, reveal what you would like to your church tonight, God. Lord, I love it, God, when you come by, Lord, and you add stuff that I haven't previously thought of, God. I'm asking for that Spirit of God, Lord. I know this is your bride, and I know that's why you do it, Lord God. Lord, come and speak to your church tonight, God. We have need of thee, Lord. God, I just pray you just have your way, Lord. Give us strength to press in, Lord. We may be tired and weary, God, but we just pray, God, that the hand of the Lord would raise us up tonight, Lord. Give us strength, God. Give us an attentive ability to pull and to hold on to this word, Lord. God, we need thee, Lord. We just love you in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. You may be seated. I was talking to a brother and we were just talking about people who can worship, make a lot of noise and do a lot of energetic things. And then when the word comes on and they can't do the same, it shows there's something wrong with their experience. Because the word is actually the highlight to the service. Amen? Of course, it's a real highlight just to be here, but yet by the grace of God, we've come to worship. We've come to make God known, but yet in the light of this day's age, we understand that the fullness of the open book must be revealed to us as the Holy Ghost would have it revealed. Amen. So every time that we sit here receiving of the Word of God, how excited should we be? Amen. How much fervor should we have just pushing from us? Because here we have the very Word that's going to produce a great life in us. Amen. And it's getting ready to do so even in a greater way than what it's already done. But yet by the Word of God, we understand that God is a seasonal God. He comes when He wants. He does things in His timeline. It's not ours. And that's good because a lot of times God can't bring it when you want it because you're not ready for it. Amen. Amen. I thought I was ready for the Bride's Revival 12 years ago. And I was to an extent, but I wasn't ready for the great pouring out that's coming to the Bride. Amen. But yet, here I am, I'm looking for a move of God, amen? Amen. And I found out, you know what? There's been a lot of character that's been built on Cam Smith, amen? Just like you should be able to look at yourself and say, boy, God has done a lot of character building in me as well. But yet tonight, we'd like to entitle this message, who is the King, this King of Glory, amen? Who is this King of Glory? For a subject, I would like to give it, lift up your heads.
Amen. Yeah.
Praise God. Now, we might be doing a little recapping here, but by the grace of God, we just want to say what the Word would have to say. Because we find within Psalms, we find so many riddles that are just locked within those Psalms. And it's amazing how much God can do when a man is singing. Amen. Amen. God can remember, like the psalmist would say, sing unto the Lord a new song.
Amen.
That God, He could literally make a new song, amen? He didn't just say it was for Him, but He said, sing unto the Lord, amen? That you could sing a new song unto the Lord. But there's an issue with that if you want your own mind to be in that. Because the problem with that is that if you're leaning upon an inspiration, the Spirit of God being that inspiration, it wants to prophesy, right? And this is what the psalmist found himself doing. And a lot of times he was singing things and he didn't even fully know what they were saying. Praise God. But by the open book in this day, we're now finding out what the book was saying. Amen. Amen. When we look a lot sometimes at what the psalmist was saying, he's singing, but now the revelation of that word has opened up to us. Amen. So by the grace of God, we want to get into this a little bit. Who is this King of Glory? Amen. And by the scripture tonight, we want to lay this in there the best we can to help you understand the scenario. Remember the picture here. We have a picture of David, and David was a man after God's own heart. He was a real Christian, right? And yet, even within David's ability, he was able to what? He was able to slay Goliath. He was able to beat down the Philistines. He was able to what? To overcome. But we find that the greatest desire of his heart was not given to him. And that great desire was to give God a place that he could set his own self. Amen. He wanted to give it to God. But yet we understand by what we've preached and what we've seen is that it was not his ability or within his scope of work to do those things, right? But it's actually to fall upon Solomon. Now tonight we want to work with this and show you what God would have to say here. Because we see that David here, it says in Psalms 24, if you'd like to go right back to there, it says in the first book, first verse, it says, a Psalm of David. So this is the Psalm of David. Amen. Amen. Now notice what it says in the seventh verse. I want us to see this here. It says in the seventh verse, it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Okay? So lift up the gates. Okay? And it says, and be ye lift up. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay? Ye everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in. So now we see that David is now adding something. He's saying, okay, if you lift up the gates and lift the doors, then the King of Glory shall come in. Okay? Now notice here that he actually puts an emphasis on these things. And by the scripture we find that he says that if you lift them up, the King of Glory will come in. Amen. Now notice it doesn't just say the King of Glory shall come in, but it says who is this King of Glory? Amen. Now notice David did not know who this King of Glory was. Amen. He knew that there's God. He knew that there's God above. But he did not come into a personal place to know who the God of gods was. Amen? Because we understand that you find out hundreds of years later that this God of gods was actually none other than Jesus Christ. Amen? But notice here we find that it's in David's heart to establish what? To establish a lifting up of the gates and the doors and to allow the King of Glory to come in. Amen? Now, I want us to see what we're talking about here because remember, here David is moved under the realm of writing a psalm and we find within the scripture that he is now saying, okay, if you lift the gates and the doors, the presence will come in. Now, notice this, if we'd like to turn in our Bibles, I got a lot of scriptures tonight, maybe a quotation or two, but we see if we'd like to go to, let's turn in our scriptures too, let me see what I got here. Let's go to 2 Samuel 7, verse 1. Okay? 2 Samuel 7, verse 1. All right? So, in the first verse, I want us to see this here. It says, "And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies." Now notice this. This is our Old Testament type, shadowing what the New Testament was. Because notice what he says. Remember, David is actually a type or a shadow of Jesus Christ, okay? Now, just to recap for everyone here, we see that what? It says that God had given David rest, okay? Now, what is David's desire as soon as he gets rest? Now, it says he had rest from all his enemies. Second verse. "That the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." Amen. "And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt." Okay? Who's built me a house? Nobody's built me a house. Now notice what we have coming here. We see David, okay? God gives him rest from all his enemies. Amen. So his desire is, okay, let's build the house.
Amen.
Okay? So, but notice Nathan, of course, the prophet says, build the house. God's with you. Haven't you been able to tell? I don't need to seek God about it. I don't need to try to figure it out. God's with you. You do it. But then God comes to Nathan and says, whoa, wait a minute. Go and tell David this, okay? Now, picking up in the scripture in the sixth verse says, "Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle." Okay? This is what he's supposed to tell David. "In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I have commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar?" So he says to Nathan, you tell David, "Have I said to anyone of Israel ever, build me a house of cedar?" No. He had not told them. He told Moses to build the tabernacle, or to build the tabernacle, which was what? It was literally a tent, right? So he establishes this here, and he continues on, and the scripture says, eighth verse, it says, "Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee, with whosoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight." So he says again, first scripture, you have rest from all your enemies. Now the ninth verse, God says, I have cut off all your enemies.
Amen.
Okay? "And have made thee a great name." Oh, hallelujah. What scripture we open up with? Psalms 110:1, which was what? It said that God said unto them, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Okay? Now, let's continue. He says here, "Like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth." Yes, I'm going somewhere. Hold on. "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before times." So now he's saying there's peace coming.
Amen.
I'm going to plant them and there's peace coming.
Amen.
Okay? Which we understand. Remember, David was a type of Christ, but yet Solomon was a type of the Holy Ghost bringing in the rest, okay? So let's continue. And it says, "And as since that time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies." So God tells him a third time, you make sure that you tell him that I will make the enemies to be cut off. Amen. Remember, you can't build the house, but I've cut off all your enemies.
Amen.
Okay?
Good.
Let's continue. "Also the Lord tell thee that he will make thee a house." So David, you're not going to make this house, but I'm going to make you a house.
Amen.
Okay? It was his heart to build the house, but yet we find here that God said he was going to build him a house, but he wasn't going to do it. Just like what? That it was Jesus Christ. He wasn't going to build the house, but what? He was to be what? To cause all the enemies to be destroyed. Which is what Christ did by shedding his blood, remember? And David, what? He could not build the house because he had to shed blood. He fought all the wars. He shed the blood. So what? So he could not build the house, okay? Isn't it amazing how all this stuff, it just continually keeps on wrapping in and paralleling, okay? But I'm not done. So notice here it says, 12th verse, 2 Samuel 7:12, "And when thy days be fulfilled," fulfilled, what meaning that there is an exact pinpoint time that everything must be fulfilled within that ministry. Amen. Just like God knew what he was doing with the prophet.
Amen.
He had fulfilled his days. Just like Jesus Christ, he fulfilled his days. Everything was fulfilled. Praise God. You should be able to look in the mirror tonight and say, God has a fulfillment in the ministry of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can't go anywhere or what? Or fall away. Even if you'd want to, until your portion of this bride is fulfilled. You don't control it. He controls it. Why are you at church tonight? Because he controls that seed. He predestinated the strength to come to the house of God. He designated a power that the word would and could be revealed to you. Amen. So notice here, continuing in the 12th verse, it said, "Thou shalt sleep with thy fathers." He had to die. "And I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Now remember, forever, we're talking about Jesus Christ. He was the son of David as well. Okay? But now, so Nathan has to go and tell David this, but we would say, boy, I bet David was really mad about that. Well, according to 2 Samuel 7:25, this is David's response. He says, "And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever." Well, why is that important? Because just like Mary said, remember, Zechariah, what? He went against. He said, well, how can it happen? So God had to smote him dumb until John the Baptist come forth. But look, David could be no different than Jesus. He said, be it unto me according to thy word. Remember Jesus Christ in Garden of Gethsemane. He said, not my will, but thine be done. And the bride of Jesus Christ in this day will say, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, hallelujah. Well, we are his seed, aren't we? So, notice he continues, he says, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. Pretty pleased with what God wanted to do. And he said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let thy house, let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art God, thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. He said, I can just be satisfied that you're going to allow my seed to come forth after me. He didn't know. But now, notice, remember, this is the perfect type of Ephesus in Christ. And we find that looking at what God was trying to do, it was in David's heart. Remember, it was David's desire to get the ark. So he got the ark and he tried to bring it back. But remember, he didn't let it be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. He put it on a cart. And so here, what? He literally caused the death of Uzzah, right? And then what? He actually became afraid of God. Remember, in him wanting to bring the ark back, he was actually wanting to bring God back to the people.
That's right?
Amen. Right?
Yeah. Come on.
It's all going to tie in. Just hold on. Hold on. Now, I want us to see this. When this happened in 2 Samuel 6:9, if you'd like to turn there, I'm going to go back just a touch because I want you to see what David says here. This is pretty ironic. Because remember, David is getting himself in an amazing fascination.
Amen.
He wants to see a living God.
Amen.
Yes. He's watched God fight his battles.
Amen.
He's watched God lead him to victory. He's watched giants smote. But yet his desire is not just that an anointing is on him. He wants to see the living God amongst his people. And the only way that that could happen was if, what? He got the ark back with the people. Remember what David was successful doing? He was successful at getting the ark back in the land. But he was not, what? Commissioned to bring the ark into the temple. Second Samuel 6:9, it says, now notice this is right. Let's read the 8th verse. Let's go to the 7th. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. So they're bringing the ark back. He touches the ark. He dies. Now notice this, 8th verse. And David was displeased. He didn't understand what was going on. He was frustrated about this. Because remember, if you'd actually move up in the 5th verse, you'd find that all manners of instruments were playing. He was getting a big procession. A big what? I wouldn't call it a party, but a big time of worship to welcome God back. But it wasn't God's time. So here he tries to bring this forth, and God says what? The revival, all the music, all the dancing, all the shouting is cut off because someone touched the ark. The ark wasn't supposed to be touched. The blood was supposed to be upon the ark. Continuing, notice this. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. You know what a breach means? That means an outburst. So David's mad. He's displeased. He's not happy. God killed somebody. When all this is for His glory. Now, continuing. And he called the name of the place Perazusa to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So he says, wait a minute. The ark is supposed to be in Jerusalem. Now, like I said, I'm going back, and I'm going to come back to where we were at. But notice his frustration. He says, well, how am I supposed to get God with us then? So, 10th verse. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, Jerusalem. But David carried it aside into the house of Obededom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obededom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obededom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obededom and all that pertaineth to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obededom into the city of David with gladness. Talk about a confused mortal. He says, I know the blessings are laying in the ark in the city of Jerusalem. Now remember, the 12th verse said that it what? He brought the ark up, but we realize that it also come in the 17th verse into the tabernacle, in the midst of the tabernacle that David built. So he had to put it right back into the tabernacle because it was not time. Have I lost everybody yet? It's very simple, but I'm laying this as a... I want this. This is where I wanted to really start at, but my brain wasn't catching it, or whatever God was trying to do. I don't know. He did something. But anyway, notice, ark needs to be in the city. Needs to be in the chief place, the city of David. It has to be there. Desire of David. Now David was only bringing it to the tabernacle. His desire to build the house had not been manifested yet.
Amen.
Why? Because the rest had not come to him yet.
Amen. That's right.
Remember the scripture said that what? It says when David was fully in rest, then he said, I'll build my God a house, a cedar.
Right.
But notice here, David sees the blessings of having the ark. And it's in this Gittite's house. So he says, bring the ark up to Jerusalem.
Right.
He didn't understand, God, what are you doing? You killed an Israelite. But yet it goes in the house of the Gentiles.
Come on, brother.
And now they're being blessed.
Amen. That's right. Right.
But notice what? He brought it back to the Gentiles or to the Jews. Jews, Gentile, Jews. Okay? Now, let's continue here. We see, okay? Everything will be blessed in the house of the Gentiles as long as they had the ark. Okay? Now, I want to jump right back into where we're trying to go and just lay a few more thoughts in here and not to kill all the time. Because I want us to see here that remember, it's a perfect type. David and Jesus Christ, okay?
Amen.
Now, remember, it was God's desire that what? That Jesus Christ, He would come and He would die.
Amen.
Because remember, if he would die, he would what? Break the veil.
Amen.
But why was the breaking of the veil important? Okay? I'm going to read you a quote. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, 57. I'm just going to read 147. The quote says, the Bible said, he ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. There was an atmosphere hung over the earth of darkness, of gloom, of death, and weary. So notice, here we have, Jesus had to ascend on high. Okay? Now notice, because there is an atmosphere hanging over the earth. Darkness, gloom, death, weary. See this? Notice, the prayers couldn't come up. So before the atonement, well, let me read that. Prayers couldn't come up because the atonement wasn't made. So the prayers couldn't come up because the atonement had not yet been made. Don't you see what is going on when you're sitting under the atonement? There should not be gloom. Darkness. Death. Weary. They had an excuse because their prayers couldn't come up. But the atonement wasn't made. But now the atonement was made. Now notice. But he broke through that veil. He opened up the way. He broke the veil of sickness. He broke the veil of sin. He broke the veil of weary. He broke the veil of depressed. He broke every veil and made a highway for the wayfaring men walking up the king's highway. Oh my, when he passed the moon and the stars and on, what's he talking about? When he ascended. Now notice this. So what are we looking at? We're looking at the fact that it would take what? It would take the rent veil to break all the darkness. And after that, if you have the Word, which the Word is the atonement, how can people in the message say they have the atonement? Well, wait a minute. They say they have the Word, but what come with the Word, the atonement? They don't have any of the effects of the atonement.
Come on, brother. Good.
Oh, great, brother. But the Scripture said that what? He ascended on high, gave gifts to man. So here David was. He had a very good excuse. Because the atonement had not been made. But now let's track a little bit back here. Because I want you to see that David was a man given to prophecy. The Scripture says, he said, lift ye up, ye gates. Lift ye up, ye everlasting doors. Now I'm paraphrasing. Because the King of Glory would come in. Now remember, David was just singing. But remember, singing to the Lord a new song. And the word of prophecy was moving through the realm of Christ within his life. And here he was. What? He was singing a song about the King of Glory coming back. Well, coming back where? He was talking about the tabernacle. Well, let me say that right. He was not talking about the tabernacle. He was talking about the house of the Lord.
Amen.
But notice the realm of prophecy. He says that if you lift the gates, if you lift the door, the King of Glory would come in. And then, who is this King of Glory? As far as, okay, if he's here, who is he? And the scripture would say what? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Now, let's continue. I know I'm moving. I want us to see this here. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 2. So here David is. He's debunked. You can't build the temple, or you cannot build the house of God. He's got to stay in the tabernacle. Now, what do you think David did? David's over here singing, and all of a sudden he gets inspired, and this psalm rolls out of his mouth. And he says, oh, something's going to happen in this house of God.
Amen.
So notice what he does. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 2. It says, and David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. And he sent masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. Okay, so what's David doing? He can't build the house of God. So he's preparing everything. He's doing everything he can to prepare it for when it is going to be built. God said he couldn't build it, but he would be able to establish everything under that ministry. Hallelujah! Just like Jesus Christ. What?
Amen.
That's why the veils were broke. Sickness, death, all these things were broke to the believer. He established all your freedoms, all your rights, but he what? It wasn't for him to stand there and do it. Because remember, you're the temple. Notice this. I love this verse. This is where everything comes together. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Cedar trees in abundance, for the Zidonians of Tyre brought much cedar to David. And David said, Solomon, my son is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. What are you? What kind of temple are you? Are you a dead church? Are you a dead temple? Are you like in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, where they looked and all they seen was ruins? Because when David shed the blood to build the temple, his desire was to make the temple magnificent.
Amen.
Of fame and of glory throughout all countries.
Amen.
What are you? The whole purpose of what God was trying to do in the Old Testament was to make you alive. Was the glory for you? No, the glory was for himself. You are showing the Lord of glory. When they see you, fame should come.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory should come. They should view what? Magnificence.
Yes. Amen.
But what? All of it proves Jesus Christ. Because
yes.
You are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
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 So notice, he says, I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death.
Amen.
He wanted to make sure that that house was prepared.
Amen.
Everything was prepared for that house.
Amen.
What are you sitting here? What are you lacking? What are you falling short on? David prepared exceedingly that you might be abundantly magnificent. Oh, Lord Jesus. So he says, then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son asked for me, it was my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. How's this here? Shed blood. But you, Solomon, you, Holy Ghost, you would make the house live. You would put the house together. Now notice what David does. David's there and he sings a song. He says, lift ye up, ye gates. Lift ye up, ye doors. And let the Lord of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? He says, let me say it again. Lift ye up! And here he is. God rejects him. God says, it's not you, but your son's going to do it. David said, that's fine. But one thing I'm going to do, he said, I'm going to prepare this thing. And here he is, not Christ, but with the Spirit of Christ on him. Notice what the Scripture says. He goes and starts building on this thing. He says, I got to get a lot of iron for the gates and the doors.
Come on. Amen.
And so now, I'm coming to the end of my first sermon. And you find what? You find the significance of everything.
Amen.
He prophesies. So what? He prepares what? For the gates and the doors to be built. He says, I know they're supposed to be there.
Amen.
Why the gates? Why the doors? Because the gates and the doors are the entry that the ark would have to make to go into the house. He didn't let Solomon figure that out. He prepared it himself.
Amen.
Amen. And when God made every one of you, you were made to be His temple before you got here.
Amen.
And God prepared you that what? That you would come in your life and you would say, yes, that's me. That's who I am. He prepared the door. He prepared the gates. He made it. Remember, your prophet said that this is fixed.
That's right, man.
He made it so you would accept this gospel.
Amen.
He made it in a way that that ark could travel through that, what? That entrance into your temple.
Right,
when some have a temple of dishonor, and God can only watch. He can only go in the spirit realm or the flesh realm. God made it so what? The gate and the doors would be completely open so you could go in. Why? He prepared it. He prepared you so that you would receive Him, not just on a flesh level, not just on a spirit level, but you would accept Him right in your soul and make the union that would bring forth the rapture. Now notice this. Door to the Heart, 1960. He says, we love you and we cherish you. And we throw all of our heart open, Lord. Let the King of Glory come in. Lift up the everlasting gates. And be ye lifted up. Let the King of Glory come in. Taking full possession as Savior, as Lord, as King, as Director, as Governor, as Giver of Peace, as Director of our past. Is there anything this God didn't prepare? Grant it. Lord, we ask it in the name of Him that taught us all to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Amen.
So your prophet makes the type. I'm only almost done with my first sermon.
Amen.
And he says, yes. He says, okay. Here it is. Lift ye up your gates. Lift ye up your doors. Let Him come in. Don't just leave Him out in the courts. Because we're not talking about the gates. We're not talking about the outer courts. We're talking about the gates. The doors going into the temple itself. Now, let's continue. See that?
Amen.
Proverbs 8:32. You know what I love about Solomon? He has the ability to go into the prophetic realm and the wisdom realm. For David, it was a psalm. For Solomon, it was a proverb. Proverbs 8:32 says, now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways.
Amen.
Oh, it's just the king talking. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Oh, it's just the king talking. 34th verse, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Well, that must be a king. 35th verse, for whoso findeth me, findeth life. And shall obtain favor of the Lord.
Amen.
It's a king.
Come on.
But you can only find life through one king.
Amen.
It's the king who said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. But remember that Solomon was not a type of just Christ. He was a type of the Holy Ghost. Amen! Jesus Christ was the life, but when the Gentiles would move to their dispensation, you would have to receive Him inside of you. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. I love it. You read commentator after commentator. They said, it appears as though he takes the trail of Christ at this point in time. But notice, Solomon says, blessed is he that's at my gates. At my door.
Amen. Come on.
Placing the significance, what? That he is at the temple.
Amen.
He is there. Life is there. His power is there. Instruction is there. Wisdom is there. Everything you need is right there. Oh, hallelujah.
Good.
Who is this King of Glory?
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Amen. Yes, Father.
Now, the Treasury of David commentary. I want to read you something in here. I like this. It says, in its entitlement, it says, hence to the village preacher. It says, accommodate the text to the entrance of Jesus Christ into our hearts. He's talking about Psalms 26? Excuse me, Psalms 24, 7 through 10. Now notice what he says. He says, one, he says, there are obstacles, gates, and doors. You can read it too. Two, we must will to remove them. Lift up!
Amen.
Three, grace must enable us.
Amen.
Be lift up. Four, our Lord will enter.
Amen.
Five, he enters as King and King of Glory.
Amen.
Right? David saying, be lifted up. Lift up!
Amen. Come on, brother. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Brother, how are you going to finish this? I don't get it. How can you get it?
Amen.
What does it say? You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. When he looked at Jeremiah and said, I, from the mother's womb, I've ordained you a prophet. He's saying to you, from the mother's womb, I ordain thee,
amen,
the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How can't you see? You're not even made to fight the war.
Come on, brother. Yeah.
The wars have already been set aside.
Right.
It don't feel like it. Why are you going on feelings?
Come on, brother. Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Feelings is not faith.
That's right.
Right. Sight is not faith.
Right.
You're the Word. If you're the Word, what should be what you see? I mean, that brother's deep. He is deep. But he told you. He did everything for you.
Come on. Yes, that's right, brother.
All you got to do is lift the gate and the door. Lift it.
That's right.
What did they do in the upper room? there's temples there.
That's right.
And they were foreordained, 120 of them, to lift up the gate and the door.
Amen.
And they lifted them up. And the King of Glory come in. And you see, when He come in, it changed the title of what that building was. It went from being a tower. It went from being prayers that could not be heard.
Good.
You heard the quote?
That's good.
Right. It went from what? It went from depression, sadness. It went from all that to what?
Come on, brother.
The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle.
Amen. Amen.
Why was He coming in? He was coming in, as the quote read, to take full control. But He wasn't just coming in to take full control. He was coming in to be strong and to fight your battles.
Amen.
His purpose
Amen.
Of coming in was what? Strong and mighty, mighty in battle.
Yes. Amen.
He was coming in to give you rest. So what? Well, it's all fulfilled. It's not fulfilled in the Gentile dispensation.
Come on.
It's fulfilled through the Gentile dispensation.
Amen.
And sermon 2, which you didn't hear. I can't break it in yet. But here you are. And God made it as simple as lifting it up. Lift it up to Him. We worship. So every once in a while we put our hands up.
Come on, brother.
A song leader, a pastor, your brother and sister should never have to say, why doesn't it seem like anybody wants to worship? Someone who comes to your church after they get done, they shouldn't say, what kind of church are you? Are you Pentecostal or what are you? They shouldn't have to say that.
Amen.
Because the Lord of glory should be there.
Amen.
The Lord of glory identifies with Pentecost. That's what He is. They might think denominational, but Pentecost is just Jubilee.
Amen. Come on. Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And look, God's just got a couple of you here. I was going to preach this Sunday when everybody's here. I said, no. I said, Lord, I kept on feeling pulled back. Said, Lord must want to feed it to the people who want to be here. People fighting to be here. I ain't saying people on Sunday don't want to. I'm just saying, you're making a sacrifice that a lot of other people aren't willing to make. Oh, no. Oh, I made everybody mad. I just made it bona fide that this is all there's ever going to be. Don't worry. Hammer's coming down, church. This God is supposed to be in you.
Amen.
What's your excuse why you're not in church?
Right.
Oh, I'm sick. Yeah. I can't go to church. I'm sick. God might heal me. Oh, I can't go to church. I don't really, Brother Cam's not much of a Christian. Let's just say it for what it really is. Because how'd Brother Branham say it? He said, this gift operates by your faith. So, when you don't want to come to church because you're sick, You're saying that you don't have any faith. Well, come on. When we get really sick, I'll just go to the hospital. Wait a minute. When you're really, really, really sick, you can go to the hospital. But you can't come to the house of God. When the Son of Man shall come, will he find faith? I was storing this up for Sunday, but the Spirit of God's bursting in me. What's your excuse? Lift ye up! Gates, lift ye up doors! Let the Lord of glory come in! He's strong! He fights the battles! He's the power! This is your God! You've been introduced, what, to this word! We say we've got the message. We say, oh, I don't like brother so-and-so. I don't like so-and-so. And the scripture said that the ones that are with me are at my doors and my gates. I will enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. How come the believer knows in the Old Testament that the place you have to be is at the church? Now, I'm going to spring this on you as the Lord's giving me this, because I want you to see that this is reality. So you say, okay, so what is this, the Old Testament? I have to be at the courts? Well, here's the issue. You can make that argument and say, okay, it's no longer a church. But what you don't understand is that when God opened up the Lord strong, mighty in battle on the day of Pentecost, He made it so that when you're weak, you can't be there. You can't do that. That if you did make it there, it's not that you would find a building, but you'd be with a bunch of other temples that had the Lord of glory already there.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Right, brother.
So what? It was no longer dwelling in a place of man's hands. But now, it was what? It was more than what you could have ever imagined. Now, instead of just one little Shekinah floating around, there was the Shekinah himself. In this, all the way through, so that God could heal you, God could deliver you, God could free you, God could what? He could make sure that you were worthy to be called a temple. Why do you look in the New Testament and you never find where they're just sick unto death and they stayed that way? You always find them getting healed. Well, why? Because every time God sees His temple in ruins, God looks at this. God looks at this prophecy. And he says, he said, this temple, it's restored.
Amen.
I've gave it my presence.
That's right.
Because you know and I know, we settle for sickness, we settle for everything. We settle for every little excuse that we can get. Right? Well, I can't come because of this. Well, yeah. Notice how it starts with missing one service, and then they miss more, 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 and more until they never come back. Why is that? Because they separated from the only place where there's power. They've separated from the Shekinah. I know. But you know what? Why do you think the Scripture says, when you see the day approaching, draw together all the more? Why do you think it says draw together all the more? Is it because things become easy? Things are simple? No, because you're going to need the presence of God in your brothers more than you've ever needed it before. In your sisters more than ever before. There has to be someone strong here. Wait a minute! Isn't there anyone here that has any God in them? Did you bring God with you? Okay. So how many's had the atonement applied?
Come on. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, brother.
The veil. Let the veil go.
Amen.
Let it go. You're free.
Amen. Come on, brother.
It don't get no more simpler than this, church.
Come on.
But you see, I ain't casting a stone at people for not coming to church. But it shows you a great lack of faith.
Amen. Come on, brother.
It does. When we skip church, if I skip church, if there ain't something that says that's wrong, what kind of Holy Ghost is there? If the Spirit on David would say one day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. God convicted him that bad. But he would have to be in the house of God. More than anything. 300 some wise concubines. Doesn't matter. Battle of the Philistines. Sorry boys, it's church thing. You just stay out in the field. The battle didn't separate him from God. He was in the courts with God. We need each other. We need power. We need God. And the only thing you lack is you have to lift up the gates. Lift up the doors. I'm trying. I've done everything I can. And I still feel like I'm failing. Don't let the devil trick you. Because God made the door and the gates. He made the lifting system. He made everything for him. Everything works perfectly. All you have to do is lift it up. You're making it too easy, brother. Am I? Or are you making it too hard? The problem, you base it on a sensation or a feeling instead of allowing the Word to ring true, because the Word's promised it. Well, it's got to be a time or season. Why? Wait, so the Word preaches this and it doesn't mean you're supposed to get something from it? Well, hey, so God opened this up to me to preach it to you. So in 30 years, this would finally manifest? Well, you know, God starts early. How many reasonings can Satan put on us when you have all the power right in your hands right now? Let's stand. Who is this King of Glory? Where's he at? Well, I'm pretty frustrated with everybody in church. I'm just not going to go. I'm frustrated with Brother Cam. I'm frustrated with this. I'm frustrated with that. I've been sick to death. How many excuses do we need? When are we just going to be Christians? When are you going to rest and just let God fight your battles for you? When are you going to start talking like a Christian? Not let anything negative come out of your mouth, because every time you say something negative, you're creating. Wait a minute. God already enabled you to create negative things? But you can't create positive things? I feel God tonight, I'm telling you. See how simple it is? How many can say with an upraised hand, I sure created a lot of bad things for myself? Now, would you be... Do you have enough faith? Let's be serious about this now. Would you be serious enough right now to say, by faith, I created that by my tongue? You know that. So how much more could you create positive if you apply the same faith to saying something good? Well, it just doesn't seem like God wants to come by. No, no, no. It's like you say something good and then you say something bad right after it. That's what it really is. Or you get, or the devil comes and makes you feel sad for 5 seconds, then all of a sudden your whole day's ruined. Or something bad happens when really nothing bad happens, because everything's working out for your good. Amen. So what's bad? I feel Pentecostal.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who is this King of Glory? How many be willing to, tonight to say, God, I know you just spoke to me. God, I want to lift my gate. I want to lift my door. I know the gate and the door not necessarily are an obstacle, but they are if I keep it shut. But it was not made to stay shut. It was actually made to open up, God, when I would feel you come around me. How many be willing to say, God, that's me, God. I want you, Lord, to come in to me, Lord. Come in afresh, God. I'm not moving by a feeling, but I know you could do it tonight. But God, I know by your word, it's as simple as me saying right now, God, I want the King of Glory to come in. Just like David knew that when the house was built, the King of Glory would come in. The house is already built. It's standing right there. You're actually talking right through it. It's built. All that needs to happen is to let the King of Glory come in. Why don't you just talk to the King of Glory? I'm going to talk to the Lord as well. Let's just say a prayer and just invite God and say, God, Lord, I'm going to lift up my gate right now, Lord. I'm going to lift up my door, Lord. I want you to take over, God. Just like the prophet said, I want you king in my life. I want you to have all my will. Take all my troubles. Take all of it, God. You said you'd do it. You are the God strong in battle. I'm not the strong in battle. You are God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, God. Oh, Lord, I know, Lord, that you're a loving God. Lord, how you come and break the man upon us, Lord. The hidden man, Lord. Not all the receiving, God. But, Lord, you have given it to us tonight, God. And, Lord, as we stand here with our hearts, oh, God. Lord, just like the prophet said, Lord, Lord, I want to lift up my gates. I want to lift up my door, Lord. And let the King of Glory come in. Fill me, Lord. Saturate me, Lord. Bring that ark in, Lord. The ark of salvation, Lord. The ark of testimony. Live in this being, God. Lord, take over this house, God. I'm tired of it being in need of repair. I'm tired of seeing it in ruins, God. Lord, I want you to come in, Lord. You said nothing about the condition of the house, Lord, because you're the one that built it, Lord. But God, Take over my life, God. Take over, Lord. Fight my battles, Lord. Put me at rest, Lord. Let me have faith in this word, Lord. You shouldn't have to put me in it, Lord. I should be able to look at the word, Lord. We are creatures of this word, Lord. We live by the word. We overcome by this word, Lord. This word is our existence, God. Take over, Lord. Lord Jesus, may not the flesh veil, God, confuse us, Lord. May not the demons and minions that are gathered around fighting us hold us back. Lord, let us stand in faith of this word. Lord Jesus, we just prayed, oh God, now, Lord, fill every individual, Lord, with the Holy Ghost, God. Oh God, resaturate us with your life, God. Lord, let us live, God, and Lord, let us be a beacon of light to those that have no strength, God. Lord, let the Shekinah dwell here. Not in a building, so to say, but in every one of these temples here, Lord. Fill us for your glory's sake, Lord. God, accomplish that which you prophesied your word for. We just ask you to do it now, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Believing in faith, we say, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You love God? Amen. God's getting you ready. You might have just got it tonight. You might already had it. But you'll know when the strong battler starts fighting for you. There's a faith that comes with that. There's an understanding that comes with that. I pray we all have said right now, God, I'll never say anything negative. God, help me, Lord. If you can help me, God, I'm going to do everything in my power, God. I'll love where I need to love. I'll live where I need to live. I won't complain, God. I'll believe in the supernatural. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing that song. We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Lord, we cast out our idols. Because we just let the King of Glory come in. We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us more. We pray, we turn our I turn my eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast out our idols. Lord, give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to under. Hallelujah! Give us clean hands. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that sees. Lord, seeks your face, O God of Jacob. And God, let us be a generation that sees. Seeks your control, Lord. Take control. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh, Lord, we cast out our idol. Lord, give us clean hands. Clean hands, give us pure hearts. understand why I was singing that. But now I remember. That's Psalms 24 as well. It says, what generation will seek Him?
Amen.
Generation of pure hearts.
Amen.
Clean hands.
Amen.
That's what's saying. I got it. I didn't understand until the chorus got there. They said, oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
This is a generation that will seek God. A generation, pure hands, clean hearts.
Amen.
God, let us be this type of generation.
Amen.
Give me 1 second. I want to read that for you. Psalms 24:3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob, Salah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. I was going to sing Let Go and Let God Have Your Wonderful Way. And I see what God is trying to do. Let's sing that song again. We bow our hearts. We bend. This is the generation that God will seek. You can't lift it up unless you're willing to have clean hands and a pure heart. Are you that generation? Yes, God. That's me. Don't question it. Faith says you are. I'm that generation. Sing that song. We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come. We turn our eyes, come in for me. Oh Lord, we cast down our idol. Lord, give us clean hands. Lord, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, Lord, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that sees.
Amen. Give a little round of applause, saints. And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm accepted, you were condemned. Now I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me.
Hallelujah!
Because you died and rose again. Sing that to him again. I'm forgiven. Well, I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Now I'm accepted. You were condemned. Now I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, amazing love. I know it's true.
Yeah.
Praise your name, O God. We sing that song, All Hail King Jesus. Amen. All hail. Amen.
And all hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. Bright morning star, and throughout eternity, I'm going to praise Him, and forevermore, oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors.